Welcome to the Fully Express Podcast.
We're your hosts, Karenna and Samantha.
This show is your permission slip to stop holding back. Here, we talk about what it really means to live unapologetically you in your relationships, your business, and your everyday life.
We believe the most magnetic version of you is rooted in self-expression, honesty, vulnerability, and showing up fully as you are. When you own that, you naturally attract the people, the opportunities, and the life that is meant for you.
Hey guys, on today's episode, we had a very special guest, my husband, Austin Griffin, on the show to talk about feng shui.
You're going to learn what feng shui is on the episode. However, we talk about how your environment specifically impacts the way that you express yourself in this world and how you can actually shift, change literally your environment, your space, your home, your room, your office to set yourself up for the version that feels the most authentic to you.
Austin is a feng shui consultant and life design strategist devoting to helping people realign their spaces and their paths with their true north. Blending classical feng shui, numerology, and astrology, Austin creates harmonized environments that reflect clarity, intention, and flow. Through 505 feng shui, he guides clients in transforming homes, businesses, and inner landscapes into grounded expressions of who they're becoming.
Enjoy.
Hello.
Well, hi there.
Back on the podcast.
Honey. Husband. Hubby.
Person I may or may not know.
Do I know you? I don't know. Do I know you?
Sometimes.
This is weird because I'm in between you guys. Yeah. I'm like, get to watch you guys together. I think the last time we did this episode, you guys were next to each other.
Oh, yeah, we were. Yeah.
Would you like to be next to each other?
No.
You guys,
space is good.
Space is good. We're together enough.
If you guys haven't caught up yet, we are recording an episode with Samantha's husband, Austin, because Austin is going to talk to us all about feng shui, which I love this conversation because yeah. Once you get into the details of how feng shui impacts your fullest expressed self, you're like, whoa, I didn't even think about this. Mm-hmm. So where do you even start? I mean, one, welcome. How are you feeling?
Good. Yeah. There's so much with feng shui. It's wild. You know, you don't realize it's something that I really stumbled into. And the second I discovered it, the second I started learning about it, I was like, wow, this resonates so much just in day-to-day life. And we don't realize it. It was like astrology for Samantha where it just clicked with me. Feng shui was just like, okay, like there's something here.
Yeah. It was kind of funny. So I bought a book I listened to a YouTube podcast with a woman named Marie Diamond, who's a very like celebrity feng shui expert. And I was like, oh, this is so interesting. Like this kind of ties in astrology and energy and all the things we kind of like to talk about and believe in. And then I bought her book and brought it home for myself. And he's like, ooh, what's this? I'm going to take it and read it. And it's amazing some of the changes that we've made have like completely altered our life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why don't you start by sharing like a little bit about what is feng shui and like what's the history of it?
Yeah, I mean, feng shui is really, it's a science of bringing harmony to your outer environment as a way of bringing harmony to your inner environment and vice versa, right? So, you know, it's often a reflection of our inner state of being. And when our house is cluttered or in disarray, it's a reflection of our inner state. And feng shui is really the study and the application of bringing balance to the outer world, which then in turn affects the inner world. And it stems back to ancient China. I mean, the written history of feng shui goes back 3,000 years. And it actually started, the first written example we have of feng shui is in the Book of Burial. So it didn't start with life. It started with death. And it started as a way of really establishing like the proper alignments with the cemetery. And the ancient Chinese believed that if you did that, it would grant prosperity to like the bloodline and say like it would really promote them as like bring like notoriety or fame to the name of whoever was buried. So it was something emperors did.
If they were facing certain directions?
Right. It started with the study of constellations, actually. And it was like a way to align. It was before the compass, because the compass didn't come out until, I don't know the exact date, but originally it started with astronomy, and that was how they aligned with certain star systems. You know, they believe that, okay, this direction is for health, this direction is for prosperity, this direction is for creativity. And they found a way to create basically a chart or alignments and that would grant, you know, prosperity. And it started with the Book of Burial, which I thought was fascinating because, you know, it wasn't about life at the beginning. It was actually started with death. So
how has feng shui evolved since then?
Yeah, I mean, it's wild because it's evolved into multiple schools, and the Western school is all about basically, you know, in day-to-day life, like I want success in my career, or I want to attract a partner, or I want to create better health and wellness in my life, or I want my children to be prosperous. And it started really as a Western, in the States, it's become more of a Western approach to life. So you can use feng shui to create, you know, balance, to create harmony in multiple categories of life. It just depends on what you need it for. But it's evolved. The traditional Western school is now called black hat feng shui. And that's basic. That's what's trending, like in social media. If you type in what is feng shui, you'll get most people who are using the black hat method. And that is, you use what's called the Bagua map. And that means you separate a property into basically nine different categories of life. Bagua means nine areas. So you can say, okay, there's one for fame and reputation. There's one for creativity and children, for family, for fame, for another one is career, which is big. A lot of people use feng shui to really deepen their career and bring success, which is a big, big focus in Western feng shui.
I love this. So how have you applied feng shui in your life?
I mean, gosh, we've applied it and created just so many positive ripple effects in our life. It's wild. I mean,
you've even helped my parents. I think you should tell the story about how you helped my mom.
Yeah, it's wild. So with Sam's parents' house, for the longest time, their front entryway is what's known as the career zone. And generally, the career zone, you want more of a water. Water is all about flow, right? When we think about career, we think about cash flow, you know, that represents water. And for them, they didn't really have any enhancements. In feng shui, it's known as an enhancement. Whenever you add something or create to dial in the area. And so what I did for them is I thought, hey, let's get a water feature. Let's get something that's going to really represent more prosperity and flow. And so we ended up buying a water feature for there. And then we bought a water feature for the true north of the property, which is on the other side, which ironically is where their trash cans were. So that was kind of, you know, a side story. But basically what ended up happening is she had this case that she could not settle for, what was it, like 20 years, something like 15 years?
Yeah, she's a workers' compensation attorney.
Yeah.
She had a case with this woman that she had been working on for like 10 or 15 years.
Wow.
And
this is the longest case that she's been working
on. Been working on. And it's also what's like held her at the job she's at. She's ready to retire. And within, I'm not kidding, like less than a month, it settled.
Wow.
And then even like a couple months later, she's maybe even getting a bigger settlement from it.
Yeah.
Damn.
So it's very interesting. So the second we put those water features in place and just dialed in the property, I did some finishing rocks and things like that just to make it look clean, finished. It was amazing. It was like literally probably within what, like 30 days or 60 days, something like that, that she ended up figuring out that it was going to get settled.
That's amazing.
And it was so something as simple as that, right? Like just placing a little enhancement in an area that you know you're struggling in can really create those changes. Another story with their house, actually, this is my craziest story. The center of the home is known to influence the entire house. And whatever you have in the center of the home is going to basically create an underlying energy. And Sam's family, they were known as the Yellingsworths as, you know, kids, because there was a lot of, like, just, you know, little tensions, things like that.
There's a lot of yelling.
A lot of yelling.
You can say it.
I wasn't even a part of that, but I've heard the story.
Yeah.
A lot of yelling, you know, which, you know, hey, there you go, fully expressed. But at the same time, that, you know, that's kind of very an unhealthy dynamic. Mm-hmm. And what was in the center of their home, it was the craziest thing.
It had been there since we were kids.
Yeah. The wildest thing, because I started learning about all the different areas and, like, how these different areas influence the family dynamic. And so I took a look. I was like, okay, what's going on in the center of the house? Because clearly this house has had all kinds of conflict and tension. And there was a statue, two metal statues of One of them was a charging knight with his sword drawn. Like, I don't know if it was a knight or it's like a general, basically a general, like a war general on a horse.
In a glass case.
In a glass case, charging with his sword drawn like he was going into war.
Wow.
And another one was a mole, there's a name for it. It starts with a G, but basically it was a knight in armor with a shield. Yeah. There's a name for it. I can't remember there's like an actual name for what this knight is, but he's got a shield, he's got a sword, and he's got a full blown metal mask and right next to the guy charging. So, I mean, underlying the energy, if you think about it, it's like, oh, this is a home that's going to be, everyone's going to have their shields up, their armors on, and being charged at each other all the time. Wow. And so it's very, feng shui is very subtle energy. It's very like recognizing all the little subtle, I mean, a lot of times it's metaphors. And if we look at a deeper, look at our home in that way, we start all of a sudden putting the pieces together and going, whoa, this is fascinating. Like, this is actually playing out in my life. And the first question is, do I want this playing in my life? Because with feng shui, intention is everything. And a lot of times, a lot of people just, they receive a piece of art from their aunt or someone passes away and it's a hand-me-down. They're like, oh, I should probably put this on the wall. They don't actually think, do I want this on my wall? Mm-hmm. Do I actually want this energy in my home? A lot of times it's just like, okay, this is what it's okay. It's fine. It works. And we don't look at the deeper meaning of the picture, the piece of art or the statue until all of a sudden we start seeing and feeling the impact of that in our day-to-day lives.
Are those two warriors in the house still? They're soldiers.
They're in the house, but they have been put in a closet. So it's a little less of an intense energy.
But truly, since he moved them there, I mean, there's always, going to be tensions at times, but not like it was. Like, no one's ever blown up since you've moved those statues.
True. And what's wild is,
which was happening often, guys.
It was happening a lot. And it got to the point where I said, what is going on? Like, this house is actually generally a very peaceful property. It's a very gorgeous property. But I'm like, something is causing conflict under the roof. So it was a change. That was a big change. And another thing we did was we put a couple Buddhas around the property. Like right at the front door, we put this beautiful little Buddha concrete statue just to represent, okay, those who enter this home are going to be peaceful. Like we want the intention of everyone who enters the property to be inspired by peace.
I think what's like coming up for me as you guys are talking about this and like bringing back to authenticity, like when I think about a declutter, every time my house is cluttered, I do not feel authentic. I feel reactive. I feel depressed or stuck in a spiral. The minute that I clean everything or move, shift things around, then I feel more like me.
Totally.
Like I'm able to show up and be like, oh, I can actually express what's inside of me. I could show up more fully, more loving, more this. And to like share with the audience, it's like your home is impacting your day-to-day expression. Mm-hmm. And we don't really realize that. And we don't even know that. What are some big no-nos in feng shui?
I mean, the huge one you just hit on it was clutter. Clutter is major. And we don't realize it, right? Everyone has a junk drawer. Everyone has stuff under their bed or in the closet. And you don't realize until you actually clear the clutter how much that energy is holding you back in a certain area of life. And what's crazy is it actually depends. Like when you start looking at the map of your home and seeing where the clutter is, 9 times out of 10, it is directly impacting that area of life. So say in your relationship area of the home, you've got stuff buried in the closet or under the bed. That could be seen as a metaphor, as like stuff buried in your relationship, stuff that you're not addressing, things like that. And it's just really the biggest no-no of all is clutter. There's especially in the way the Western world is today, we have so much stuff. We have so much clothes. We talk about it all the time, how many of the outfits we don't even wear, and just little things like that, that we don't realize is we're just holding on to.
Can you pull that thread, like holding on to? Because I feel like, I was listening to this other podcast the other day with Mel Robbins, who were talking about people who hoarder stuff. They have like a form of OCD because like they're so attached to the thing and it reminds them of something. So whether it's like frustration or resentment or a grudge, or it's the last memory they have of someone that they really loved or whatever, but it's piling in their house. Mm-hmm. And so I think sometimes when there's shit around the house, it's like there is an attachment to the clutter.
Absolutely.
But it also causes, at least in my own experience, like clutter creates like I'm always thinking about the clutter, like mm-hmm. I haven't gone back to that clutter, I haven't organized that piece of this, or like mm-hmm. I would love to organize my desk or whatever, like if it's sitting over there and I haven't gone to it, it yep. just feels like an unconscious like loop of energy.
Absolutely.
That is also impacting us in ways that we don't even realize.
I love that you said that, because it mm-hmm. is a loop of energy, mm-hmm. and we don't realize that we're holding on to something, you know, most likely because we're not ready to let go of it, or we don't realize that we're holding on to it. Mm-hmm. And so one of the biggest things I say is I have like a three part rule. I say one is like give away. It's a no right away, you know. The next thing is a maybe. And the next thing's a keep. And if it's a maybe, usually that means you may want it later in life, or you may find a reason for it later in your life. Like someone may ask for that gift and you're like, hey, I actually do still have it. Mm-hmm. So if we experience a maybe, yeah, we may be resisting personally letting it go, which that's okay. You know, maybe we're not ready to let go of it. But sometimes we may be experiencing a maybe because somebody else may want that thing, or it's not the right time, you know, and things need to align in order for someone to go, hey, do you have that painting from Aunt Etna that I, you know, forgot about? And all of a sudden it's like, oh, I was going to give it to Goodwill, but I kept it for this reason. And so if it's a maybe, sometimes you set it aside. Maybe you get it out of the area that it's currently displayed, so it's not as impactful as an energy. You know, it's okay to have some storage. But, you know, that's up to you to really decide, hey, am I ready to really like relocate this to somewhere it's like a transitory phase, right? Or am I ready to get rid of it? And your body will tell you right mm-hmm. away. You'll touch it. You'll feel it. You'll say, yeah, I'm not going to use this. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the stuff, I'd say, like, if we are, you know, going through that junk drawer, probably 70 or 80% of it we could probably get rid of.
Yeah, the first thing that comes up for me are gifts. When people give me stuff that I don't want, right. but I feel really bad about it. I'm like, this isn't aligned with my most authentic self, but what right. do I do with it? And I hold on for it for a period of time. And I'm like, to be honest, just throw it away.
Right.
Sometimes I re-gift it if I can.
If you can re-gift it, yeah, that's a great idea. Sometimes I just throw it away right away.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, realistically, like this is going to sit here and I have nowhere to put it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't have, especially me right now, I have like the smallest space. So I tell everyone, don't get me little things. Yeah. I don't want little things.
Right.
Because I don't know where to put the little things, and yeah. I have too many little things, and I just don't like it. So, but memories are hard.
It is.
Yeah. Like you got to, like, I think, especially like my mom, like, I feel like my mom kept so many things from my grandpa. Like she flew them from Peru to have them mm-hmm. because they're a memory of her dad. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, also, is that you? Like, mm-hmm. is that your soul's journey to have that stuff in your home?
My parents, what do you do with it? I think it's their generation. It's like, there's this attachment to nostalgia.
Well, that's what I was going to say, too. A lot of it's generational or cultural. You know, if you come from a generation where, you know, accumulating stuff was like the sign of success or safety, I think for your parents, a big reason for that was safety. It's like, okay, mm-hmm. because they moved around a lot as children, you know, by having all of their things in the attic or in the basement or wherever, in the garage,
yeah.
it was almost it a symbol.
To home.
Almost. Right. It was almost a symbol of like, okay, we're secure. Even though our garage is full of stuff, we're clearly not going to go through it. So maybe it's a symbol of being anchored, you know, in where we are.
Yeah.
Maybe not the best symbol of being anchored, but you know, that could definitely be playing into that for sure. A big no-no too, I know you hit like one of the biggest no-nos is the making sure your door isn't blocked. So a lot of people don't realize this, but you know, if you have a door that can't open fully, you know, like you have a plant behind it, or you've got maybe your front door is blocked by something, a planter or a shoe rack or anything, clock, things like that. That is a big no-no as well, because that really represents, you know, that area of life. The qi, feng shui is all about qi, is not able to flow through the door when the door can't open fully.
What's qi?
Qi is life force. It's everything. It's, you know, life is made up of qi. It's energy, really. Mm-hmm. When you think of what reality is, it's everything's energy, everything's interconnected. Mm-hmm. And qi is known as what the vital life force of life. It's in everything. It's around us all the time. It's like the force in Star Wars, you know, it's always there. And we can use qi to really channel it to create vitality, or if it becomes stagnant, if it becomes blocked, or if it becomes stale qi, that's also like, it's like death energy, right? Where it's stagnant, it's slow, it's dying. You know, and that affects us in a negative way. So feng shui is really about balancing the good qi, the positive qi with the negative qi, obviously trying your best to minimize the negative qi and emphasize the good.
And I think people feel this on a subtle level. They just don't even realize it. Like, right. If you think about when you walk into like a huge home where all the rooms aren't being used, like if you've ever walked in, or even a home that's like very cold, like very white and stark and not a lot of color or not a lot of elements, which I think I want to talk about. But I think you feel that energy immediately. Like, you either walk into a home and you're like, wow, this feels so welcoming and inviting. Or you walk into a home and you're like, ooh, this kind of feels chilly and cold.
Yep.
Like, this feels like a museum. So is that the representation of the people?
I mean,
I think about that all the time.
I think so. I mean, I do think, well, Austin could speak to this. Absolutely. I think in a big house, it's hard. I think it's really hard to fill a large home with energy. Sure. So hard. I don't think it's necessarily the people fully in those situations. But yeah, I mean, you are a representation of
your home,
and your aesthetic. Yeah.
And double story homes as well is hard too, because we don't realize it. But, you know, when you add a second layer to the home, that creates a whole nother dynamic shift as well. Then you got to factor the stairway into it. I mean, there's a lot with that. But yeah, big homes is a big, it's hard.
It's funny you say that, because I grew up in a two-story home my entire life. Mm-hmm. And I loved going up and down.
Oh, yeah.
But there is something so fun about all being on one floor.
Right.
Now when I look at like potential homes, it's like, I think I want a big home, but I think I want it all on one floor.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I want two floors.
It's ideal.
I don't know why. Like, there's something very cozy about a one floor, but long, like maybe it's going to be like, you know, a lot of property, but it's not going up.
Well, it's very simple. Yeah. You're closer to earth. You're grounded. You're more anchored. It creates more of a sense of stability. And that's really the beautiful thing. Like that's one beautiful thing about your parents' house, actually, is there is a very anchored feel in the house, and it is all on one floor. There's no two stories. And I grew up like you. I grew up with two stories. I grew up in one house that had three stories. It went up, and then there was a basement, and all the rooms were like closed off and kind of nooked out and separated, which created this divisive kind of energy where everyone can just shut themselves away, which maybe for some situations is okay, but you know, if you really want to create that good family dynamic, I really believe personally it's those single story, you know, homes that are just grounded.
I will say though, there is a two story, like even when we went to London, we had a two story. We decided to sit upstairs, not downstairs.
True.
Hmm.
And even when I choose apartments, a part of me decides to be upstairs versus downstairs.
Hmm. I wonder though, now that I think about it, because the stairway went out the front door.
Hmm.
So maybe it's we wanted to be upstairs because there was more energy accumulated upstairs because the energy downstairs is going out the front door. When you have a staircase, right, facing the front door, it's absolutely like all the energy is going
all out. All the chi basically rushes out the door. And a lot of designers, they don't think about that, right? It's just like, oh, we want the stairs accessible. So we want you to be able to walk in and walk right up the stairs. But they don't realize that when you put a stairway going right out the front door, the energy that gathers upstairs just rushes out. It basically falls down the stairs.
But then we did stay upstairs, so maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I just contradicted myself.
Well, it depends. Was the stairway to the side of the door?
It went like this.
Or was it directly?
No, it was directly to the door.
In front, and then it
was like this. Yeah.
Okay. Because there are ways, like if you put a mirror at the bottom of the stairs, which bounces the energy back up, you know, there's certain ways you can address that so it's not so intense.
But the home is also very warm. Like, it felt very, like, it still was small, even though it was cozy.
Yeah. I liked it. It was very cozy. I actually really loved it.
I think two stories are fine if the rooms are filled, or even a big house is fine if the rooms are filled and they're being used. It's like, it's when they're so big, there's just stagnant energy that you feel that. Like,
well, there's so much too. There's the layout of the home. I mean, there's so much you got to factor in when you talk about feng shui. Like, even just the layout, the design of the home comes into factor. How it's aligned geographically with the compass directions. I mean, you can make a two-story home feel beautiful if you enhance it properly and make sure it's designed properly. It can still feel just as warm and cozy as a single story.
One thing I want to like bring it back to a little bit is like, let's focus on rooms a little bit, like your own room. Cause I feel like a lot of people, like, I mean, you live in your own room, you spend a lot of time in your room, you sleep in your own room.
Yeah.
What are some tips and tricks to set up the room in a way that like really supports, your fullest expressed self or just like feeling really, really good in who you are daily?
I mean, really
simple. Cause you've given us some tips too, just like a bedroom.
Yeah, of course. Some of the simple tricks that are fascinating to talk about depends on the room, right? If we're talking about an office, a lot of people have an office where they work, you know, you want to make sure your desk is not facing a wall. That is a big, we don't realize it, but I mean, how many people are inspired when they're just facing a blank wall? You know, not very many people, myself included. If I'm sitting, you know, we had for the longest time, we had our desk facing a wall. This was before I found about.
What if you're facing a window?
Windows, it depends, you know, because feng shui, if you boil it down, it's all about safety and security. Because when your immune system, when your nervous system is regulated, you are able to be more tapped in, more creative, more inspired, right? And if your immune system, your energy system is out of whack, you know, you're not going to be able to really tap into that greater energy. So if the window is facing away from the door, like if your back is to the door, that could create that feeling of compromise. That could create that feeling of not feeling safe, even just on a subconscious level. So it really depends on the room. Like if you want to look out a window, that's great, but you also want to be able to see the door. That's a huge thing with office, because there is what's known as the command position, the power position. And what this is basically setting yourself up so that you are basically in like a receptionist position of for your office. So that if people walk into your office, they see you, you're in that position where, hey, this is my business. Welcome. Come on in. You know, it establishes this sense of like command over the room, which for offices is huge, right? So the way you do that is you position the desk so that you can see the door. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be directly in the doorway if possible. You want to be kind of off to the side. You know, you could even be at an angle. But basically what that does is it sets you as the in power of that room and of your career, really. So it's amazing. Just by doing that, I've seen people just create a whole different sense of authority over what they're doing for their career. Because it just, for some reason, just on a subconscious level, it creates this shift of just like, oh, I'm confident what I'm doing. I'm confident that you're coming into my office and I know what I'm doing. It creates this shift in dynamic that can create a whole sense of, you know, empowerment, really.
What about bedroom?
Bedroom's huge too. Same thing with the bed, right? Like we don't want to walk right into the bed if possible, right? We don't want to open the door and just have our bed right there. We'd like it to be off to the side. We still want a view of the door if possible. I mean, if you think about it, when you're sleeping, you want to be able to see if someone's going to come in and and you're going to look in the doorway and someone's standing there. If your bed's way off at an angle or, you know, facing away from the door, that's going to create that subtle feeling of disease, really. Same thing with windows in the bedroom. You know, a lot of feng shui practitioners believe that if you have the windows behind your bed, that can still create that feeling of, you know, not feeling safe. Like, is someone going to walk by the window outside and I'm not going to be able to see them? Mm-hmm. Those are all those kind of things subtly that you start being aware of. Obviously you want to view, you want to take in all the beautiful, you know, if you have a beautiful view where your bedroom is, that's great too, you know, but you got to just factor in those little things. And if for the bedroom, talking about the bedroom, you don't really want stuff under your bed if possible. That's a big thing too. A lot of people don't realize they, you know, shove the shoe boxes under the bed and they wonder why they're not sleeping well. You know, you got to look and see what's going on under the bed, because you could have things under there that you don't even know could be impacting your sleep, things like that.
Can you talk about the elements and how those play in, or like colors? Because I know those are big in feng shui too.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, you mentioned, you know, metal element is huge with creating that cold feeling. We see that in a lot of homes today. A lot of modern homes are very cold.
And what's
very
metal? Stark. Like, explain that, because it doesn't mean just physical metal.
Not just physical metal. No, right. It can be represented by colors as well. So in terms of feng shui, metal is white. So you see a lot of that white, stark, gray, silver feel in modern homes today. And that's what creates that feeling of just like, ooh, this feels cold. This feels kind of soulless. Because the metal element is really represented by mind. It's represented by logic. So when you have too much metal, that's going to create this kind of heady, you know, too analytical. You know, there's a reason why like too much white is known as like that psych ward kind of energy, because it is very mental. And if you get to in a home that has too much metal, you're going to feel that sense of like, whoa, this feels like way like light, almost too much light, you know, and you want to anchor that down by creating that contrast. And the way that you do that is you bring in more earth, you bring in more wood, you bring in more of those natural elements. So that's kind of, you always think about the opposite. And or if you want to anchor something, if something's way too much metal or too much white, you want to bring in the opposite of that in order to ground things down. And the same thing can happen if you have too much wood or if you have too much earth. Like your parents' home actually has a lot of wood and a lot of earth energy. So what that can do is it can create a feeling of being sluggish or too heavy or too slow, you know, and people reluctant to change, right? So the way you balance that out would be to bring in more metal or bring in more fire, bring in more initiatory energy to create those changes, and water as well. But it's really all about, there's what's known as a creation cycle of elements, which there's elements that feed elements, right? So wood feeds fire, things like that. And there's the destruction cycle. So, you know, which would be the opposite.
Fire burns wood.
Right, right. Or water extinguishes fire.
Fire.
Yeah. So it really depends on a home, but elements play a huge, huge factor because it's what you're bringing in nature to your home.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like there's so many people that are going towards a more colder home.
Yeah.
Totally.
Like a lot colder. Like even like the houses today, like I think about the neighborhoods that I'm drawn to are where all the houses are so different, but they are going towards like every home like looking white the same.
Trim.
White and black trim. And we have white and black trim in our house too. On the outside, but everyone's kind of moving towards this like neutral state.
But your house doesn't have it on the inside.
No, not the inside. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, there's this other house Nick and I just saw the other day. It was very clean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very clean. Like, I'd love to see what the inside looks like.
Yeah.
But it was all black. It was all white. It had a black garage. It was white. It was just super clean. Like, there was no earth to it.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's a shift that's going in that direction.
Yeah.
I mean, I even think about my brother's house is like so much metal element. Mm-hmm. Like even the countertops in the kitchen are white marble. Like everything is white. Even in the living room, the wallpaper is white with like black.
White with black scribbles.
It actually kind of looks like a psych ward. Sorry. Yeah. He already knows. I've told him.
Well, I've said it too. Like, yeah.
Yeah. But it is interesting because you do feel a lot of mind energy in there.
Yeah. It's very the
and you feel that in those homes.
It's like I said, with that type of energy, it does create a psych ward energy. It does create a very like I'm stuck in my mind. You know, I've got too many
thoughts going on.
There's too many thoughts. It's not grounded. There's no sense of like warmth or comfort, which can create that feeling of coldness that a lot of people feel.
Which is hard because I feel like to some extent the people that I'm thinking about that have a more like white look, they're looking for less mind energy, right? They feel like, oh, if this is more simple, then
it's not cluttered, right?
Because I think that's like one thing I struggle with is like even decorating a wall. Like I get so overwhelmed with decorating a wall. Because it's easier if it's just plain.
Yeah. Right.
But obviously decorating the wall is going to bring some warmth to it. But I'm just saying like I think the desire for people to go simple is because they are craving more, less clutter.
Yeah,
but you're saying like add some warmth, but keep it clean.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
like
don't bring in clutter, bring in color.
Right, absolutely. Clutter or color is huge with that as well, because when you have all that white, you know, you need that color to really balance things out. It creates more of a sense of like, because you bring in all the other elements through the colors.
Then what about those spaces that are so colorful? You know, there's some in a really beautiful way, like they actually hit the ball out of the park. Like they have, I'm thinking like purples, yellows, oranges, like their whole space is this whole, I feel like I'm walking into culture in some way. Like what about those spaces?
Absolutely. I mean, well, the cool thing with that is it really depends on the numerology as well. A lot of the more modern feng shui practitioners, myself included, factor in numerology because numerology of a home plays a huge factor. Like if you had a 5 house or a 3 house, which are very creative, very collaborative energies.
What's a 3 house and what's a 5 house?
Yeah. So basically in order to get the numerology of a home, you add up all the address, all like the entire address numbers, and you boil it down to one ruling number. There's a way to do this if you look it up online, but say, okay, 3160 would be an example. You would take the 6 + 1, that's 7 + 3 = 10. That'd be a one ruling number. Which is all about independence, but we'll get into that. But the 3 would be creativity. A 5 is all about collaboration. So, and change, right? So if you had a 3 or a 5, basically that's, you want that artistic feel. You want that feeling of like spontaneous, you know, you could have lots of color. You could have lots of art. You could have the funky, you know, furniture or whatever in those type of places. And it will feel like it works. You'll walk in and you'll go, wow, this really feels, you know, this feels artsy. This feels fun. I feel inspired. I want to be here. And I think your parents' house is a 5, isn't it? We talked about that before.
They're 437.
437. So
I think they are a 5.
7.
Yeah, 5.
Yeah. Yeah. 14. So, yeah, 14. 4 + 1, 5. Yeah, so that, but the shadow with a 5 that you have to be mindful of is it can almost create this feeling of there's too much going on. Sometimes you can gather too many things, or it can become cluttered. That's a big shadow of the five as well. You can create this feeling of like, whoa, there's almost too much stuff, because a five creates this change. It creates this abundance. It creates this feeling of like, you know, oh, I want to take this home and I want to display this, but maybe I'll save that picture over there because I don't know what to do with that, you know, but it creates that feeling because it's a very activating energy. And all the different numbers are fascinating, but for that example in particular, like you wouldn't necessarily want that creative, like art deco type style home for a seven house. A seven house is all about wisdom. It's all about deepening. It's all about that feeling of spirituality and growth, which is what Sam's parents' house is. It's a very grounding energy. But if you were to like throw a ton of art everywhere and a ton of color everywhere, it would kind of do the reverse effect of what the home is meant to be. So when you factor in the numbers, you can really start dialing in. Oh, okay, like if I know that this is the subtle energy of the home, here's how I can start decorating. Here's how I can start really amplifying what this energy of this home is meant to be.
What would be a good number for metal?
Like for metal?
Mind.
Gosh.
Or white.
Yeah. White. Right. Let's see. I mean, it really depends on what
you're... Like an eight maybe?
Well, eight's prosperity. That's abundance. That's not... I mean, the thing is... Let me think here. Nine. Two, because a two is all about relationships. So it wouldn't go with a two. Maybe a one would be independence, like logic, cold, like logic, you know, making things happen type of energy. Because metal, you know, can make things happen. Metal is very like logic, very like getting things in place, getting things set up, taking action. But yeah, that's obviously you got to factor in all the different elements to really feel out the house. But yeah, I mean, that'd be a interesting read to figure out, you know, hey, or what would do good in this house? Like, but with your brother's house, I know for a fact his house is a two. And all that white, all that metal is the opposite of what you want in your relationships. You'll want more, you know, more water, more earth, more wood.
Be in your body.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. It's fascinating.
I love this.
Yeah.
I feel like this is something that someone can be really intentional about when you're like picking your next home and like the next chapter. I was just seeing a friend yesterday and she was just sharing like, this is my transitional home. So many transitions have happened in this home. Like, this is not our forever home, but this is like our transition home because they're going through so many transitions.
Yeah. I would bet you money that it's a five house. So like if you are living in a living in a five house, generally speaking, that's a transitory home. And that's a beautiful thing, right? You don't have to necessarily, it doesn't have to be your dream home. You can know, okay, this house is going to inspire me to make the changes necessary so that maybe I can start manifesting my dream home or get clarity as to like, where do I want to be? Maybe I don't even want to be in this state. Maybe I'm not even in the career that I want to be in. But this house in particular is going to help me make those changes so that I can get clarity and move into that dream home. And then you'll find out exactly where you want to be. And you'll be like, oh, wow, I want to be in more of a three house. Maybe I want to be more creative. Maybe I want that feeling of creativity, but more anchored, more stable, you know? Or maybe, hey, maybe I want a two home. Maybe I want to attract a soulmate. I want to attract a lover. I want to like learn how to deepen my intimacy with a partner. And then you attract that type of house. It's fascinating when you bring in the numerology because it adds a whole nother dimension of clarity and understanding of what that house in particular is all about.
I was just thinking about your parents even who are, they're in a five, but they're like, oh yeah, I don't know if this is where we want to be. Like they want to maybe go to South America or like they're building their home in Costa Rica. So it's so interesting.
They could go to Costa Rica and be like, this is home. We're done. Sell everything.
Yeah. I think St. Clemente is home for them. Yeah. I think they bought the house knowing that, I mean, my parents have a life where they want to have places everywhere.
They're nomadic, but five is also travel. Yeah.
So travel has been a huge essence for them. So I think St. Clemente's always been like the place to come back to, but they know like they're going to spend 6 months in Costa Rica. Totally. They want to spend 6 months here. Like it's not like they only want to stay here, you know, like it's always just been a part of us. I mean, I have that too. Like I love to travel. There's a part of me that doesn't want to be in one place all the time either.
Well, technically you're in the five too.
Well, yeah, of course. I'm still in the five.
Yeah. But as I was saying, that's the energy. Like, even when we first moved, we went to London, like not even a month after we moved in.
Yeah. It inspired the beautiful. Five. A five is a beautiful number. You can make a five your home for sure. Yeah. But just know that you're going to be inspired to travel more. You're going to be inspired. You're not maybe.
Yeah, that's why they chose it.
Yeah. You're going to be nomadic or like have that aspect in your life.
Which is beautiful. And maybe that is their home. Maybe that's the chapter of life that they're in right now. It's like, hey, I'm having this anchor. And at the same time, I want to start exploring other places. And maybe, you know, we create some other home somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know?
This is such a fascinating conversation. I mean, I feel like the biggest thing that always comes back to is like your environment is stronger than your willpower. Yeah. And to like kind of conclude this conversation, because we don't realize how much our environment impacts us. I mean, you guys just experienced the change in your environment.
Yeah.
Literally, it's everything.
It's everything. Like how you decide to come home to, what are you in? Like the space that you're in, the people that you're in, the energy that it's in, everything is stronger than your willpower. There's only so much that you can mentally push yourself through.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I think really having a beautiful space is like so important.
It's huge. And what's beautiful is when you start being very intentional with what you want to change in your life and getting your space in that harmony, because really it's all about harmonizing your space. By harmonizing your space, you harmonize your inner world, then you're able to make the changes that you want to make. But by being intentional with like, okay, if I know that this is the relationship corner of my home, using the Bagua map, looking at this chart, okay, what changes do I want to make in my relationship? Mm. I look, okay, maybe it's the office where my relationship corner is. Okay, I'm going to decorate with more pink, more color, more of a sense of warmth. Maybe I get rid of that old metal chair and instead I do something that's comfortable and inviting and makes me feel comfortable in my life. Maybe I want to be comforted with by my partner more, or I want to feel that sense of, you know, romance in my life. So how would I change this room knowing that? And make those changes. And it's amazing. Usually within 30 to 60 days, you see a change in some way that represents that direct change that you made in the house.
Mm. I love even the suggestion of like moving, like in our case, we really wanted to move from where we were, but we couldn't in the moment. Like it wasn't manifesting or it wasn't the right time or whatever. As you started making all these little shifts in our current environment, I feel like that was the beginning of the catalyst of us. Like the energy shifting for us to move. Then we have certainty. Then we attracted where we are. But I think even, this gift we received that happened to be a picture of a picture that's in our place now, there's just so many synchronicities. But I think a lot of it was you aligning the energy from where we currently were to help us shift into where we wanted to be.
Well, the biggest thing I'll say is that, you know, when you start, it's really about taking back your willpower in a lot of ways, because you start understanding, okay, this environment is impacting me. This is making me feel a certain way. And a lot of people don't like their homes. A lot of people don't like where they live, or they're in an apartment building and they've got a noisy neighbor. Or, you know, they're just settling and they're just, you know, oh, it's fine. It's not my dream home. It's fine. I just come home and I go to bed. I don't even care. Which is what a lot of what your brother says. I don't care. It's not a big deal, blah, blah, whatever. But the thing is we don't realize that that energy is impacting us. And the best thing we can do to start making changes in our life is start creating changes in our environment. Because suddenly we come home, we pick up that picture that we love at the, you know, market or the farmer's market or wherever we see it, and we're like, wow, I want that picture from that, you know, that artist. And you put it up on your wall when you first walk in. That little shift, that little change of just coming home and seeing something that inspires you is going to create a shift. It is going to make you feel more expressed in your life, because suddenly you're taking back that power. You're starting to say, hey, I can take control over my environment. I can start really putting intention in my environment, which then creates the change. And that's exactly what we did when we created, you know, that new energy for ourselves, which then manifested our new home.
I just thought about, too, the picture that Alexis gave us someone gave us a picture. We wanted to move to North County, San Diego, and Encinitas. And someone gave us a picture from a local artist at the farmer's market of a beach that's very popular called Beacons in Encinitas. I think it was Beacons, one of them. And I just realized we had it in the center of the home the whole time. It was sitting in the center of the home, and she gave it to us specifically to manifest. She's like, here, hopefully this will help you manifest your place. And within 6 months, we manifested where we are now. And the woman who it was partially furnished, and the woman had artwork from this exact same artist, including the same exact photo that was given to us by this friend.
It was mind blowing.
That's wild.
And I just realized it was in the center of the home the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
we just left it there.
It's fascinating. And this
works, you guys.
It does. It does. That's why I say it's feng shui, and it really is like life design. Because when you start designing your life and thinking about, hey, where do I want my life to go? Or how do I want my relationships to look? What do I want my career to feel like? How do I want my health to be? You know, you really start looking at your home and going, okay, if I know this is my health area, I want to put, you know, display all these symbols of good health. Maybe I put out books that represent qi or represent vitality or qigong or whatever. And you start doing that. It's amazing just subconsciously how it registers and starts, because it's all about intention. It's like, you know, the big thing I love with Marie Diamond was the first feng shui practitioner I ever came across. She talks about using your home as a vision board, because it's very true. It's your physical representation of the manifestation you're trying to call in. And when you're physically taking it in every time you come home, or even if you're just laying in your bed and you've got, you know, the new comforter that feels comforting and feels warm, it's going to create a shift. You're going to feel more comforted. You're going to feel a sense of like, oh, this is my environment. I'm creating this, which is a whole new way of taking your power back. And it makes it fun. You know, why settle with being in a place that you're just like, ugh, you know, like I can't stand it. And that was a hard, before I learned feng shui, we lived in a place up in Pacific Palisades. And for the longest time, it took us forever to decorate it and make it feel like home, because we had a neighbor who was interesting.
A little bit of wackadoo,
but it created this feeling of like resentment towards our home, which is the worst feeling. Like, you don't want to be going to back to a place where you just don't want to be there, you know? So we finally, this is the crazy story, actually. It took us, 2 years to finally furnish the place, to
put the pictures
to
up.
Get everything dialed in to the point where we felt like,
maybe a year. I don't know if it's 2 years.
I think it was close, really? Because it was within those couple of months
before COVID
happened, which is then when we moved.
Yeah, you're right.
But we got the house finally set up to the point where like, oh, okay, it feels like home.
We liked coming home.
And then we manifested a different living situation.
Yeah, COVID happened. Yeah. And then we left.
Yep.
LOL. I hope this inspires everyone to take action today on like, how do I want my home to feel? Especially like the new versions of ourselves. So like, if you're in a place where you're really trying to call in a new version or manifest a new destination or manifest a new job or be in a new energy, because all of that is so important. Like maybe you get to like really spend time on figuring out like, well, what is my space? How does my space feel to emulate that or to be that? That part. So I love this conversation so much.
Yeah. And I think it's like important to say too, like it can sound overwhelming because there's so many elements to it.
Oh yeah.
Which is like, literally. One, they could hire you to help them, or I know you're going to come out with a course, and there's plenty of people who can talk about this stuff. But I think even just trusting your own intuition and tapping in, and like when you really sit quietly with yourself in your space, you feel what wants to change.
You
like
do.
You wanting to like clean up your space and be like, yeah, I don't like when there's a lot of clutter. I feel cluttered. Like that's your intuition saying, hey, I need to like dial it in. So I feel like you don't have to get overwhelmed. Like, what colors do I do?
No.
You can also just make little subtle changes.
Yeah.
Take all the shit out from under your bed.
you do. And that's the beautiful thing. It's amazing. The houses I've worked on, it is so beautiful. When I walk in and I'm doing the chart of the home and I'm taking the compass readings and I'm making sure which room is which, it would blow your mind how many people intuitively put a, you know, symbol of travel in the travel area without even knowing it's the travel area, or, you know, putting a picture of their loved one in the relationship area without even knowing what they're doing. It's just people have a knowing. And I do believe it's because of the geographical compasses. I do believe that intuitively we have a sense of knowing, okay, like this is north without even knowing you're doing it, right? But people have a way of knowing, okay, you know, and that's why when a feng shui practitioner comes in, when a consultant comes in like me, I just tweak it a little bit. Sometimes it's just a little tweak that they need to just get everything dialed in and that's it. And then they know, oh, this is my fame and reputation area. Oh, this is, you know, my career zone. Now that I know that, let's emphasize it with a water feature. Mm-hmm. Let's create that. Let's put a water fountain by the front door and with the intention of bringing in more cash flow. And then changes happen even faster because it's all about intention. That's it. And when you decorate with intention, that's when you really start creating changes.
Mic drop. That was really good. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thanks, Annie.
Yeah, I would love to know, as we start to transition a little bit more to you, where in your life are you feeling called to be more fully expressed right now?
I mean, for me, treating this practice, this art form, as a professional career. And I think for me, it's like understanding that this is, there is a need for this. And I want to help as many people as possible with it, because I know, like, I've seen the changes in my life. I've seen how it works. And I just want to get over that hurdle of like, okay, maybe it is unconventional. Maybe it is, you know, it's not normal, but it is something that is needed and will help people. And when they experience it, it is just, it is life changing, but it is unconventional. And for me, it's like getting over that hurdle of like, okay, it's unconventional, but I can market it still. It's still a business. There is still a need for it. There, it is a service, and I'm going to treat it more as a professional career, and really allowing myself to be expressed and understanding, like, I am a feng shui consultant. This is a part of what I do. I love doing this. I want to help people design their lives and create a life of absolute intention. And for me, that's it, really. It's just like moving into that sense of going from amateur to professional, really.
Love.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, this was a step in that direction.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing feng shui. I know it's important, and I know that there are people that are doing it, and so I know people want it.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're going to find you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Divine timing.
Divine timing.
Agreed.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
It was such a pleasure having you.
I'm so happy to be here. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Love seeing you guys just create this and being a part of it. And just,
you're a part of every single episode. What are you talking about?
I know.
We couldn't do it without you. People don't know that you're behind the scenes. You're dialing in the environment.
Yeah, he is.
It's true.
So,
I love helping
you guys. We love you. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We hope you loved today's episode and that it sparked something in you on your journey to becoming more fully expressed.
Don't forget to check the show notes for all the details and resources from today's conversation. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review.
We'd love to hear your honest thoughts and takeaways, as it really helps us to create content that better serves you.
This week, we invite you to show up even more as you. More honest, more real, more expressive in your life and business. And we'll see you on the next one.